This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Tips on conduct of Muslim women in the workplace. Actually, this is something I've been thinking about for the last week as well. Not particularly in relationship to women, but in relationship to anybody in the workplace, because the workplace obviously provides quite a bit of a challenge. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm not going to go into the discussion about why you're there in the first place, because that in itself has its own discussion about whether it's permissible or justified or correct. However, if you are in the workplace, to make it into a better situation, there are several things that we need to be considering here. First and foremost, I think from a Muslim woman perspective, and you know, from a Muslim man's perspective, but we're talking to women here. So from a Muslim woman perspective, the whole modest attire needs to be really considered and thought about very carefully. I got a call some time ago about a woman who used to wear, who does wear, I hope she still does, a proper hijab and flowing robe or jubba or whatever you want, abaya, however you want to define that. And now that she had finished studying and her training, she had to go to work. So now her first question is that, do I have to wear my abaya? Can I change into other types of clothing? So you can clearly tell from this that there's a pressure that wants you to conform to certain things. That's why the choice of where you go and where you work is very, very important. Wherever you are, though, it's always, you know, better to do less, to have less harams and less sinful behavior and attire than it is to have more, of course. So we talk about it in a mitigating fashion. So I think number one is the attire. That's very important. Number two is interaction. Because you're working so closely with others, sometimes what we've seen is that there'll be men and women who will actually work with other men and women. So a man, a husband, who will work with other women as, you know, somebody he's either training with or somebody he's working with. Likewise with women, you have the same kind of thing, that there are people that you work with at work very closely on the same kind of project. When it comes to projects, then there's obviously some projects are successful, some projects have challenges. In order to deal with challenges, there's a certain mindset and emotion that's required. When you're collaborating with others, then you start to bond together because you have to think together, right? You have to pull your ideas together and you have to think, you know, like one another to try to come up with a solution. What all of that does as human beings is that creates an emotional bond between the people as well. In order for them to become successful in their particular project and to achieve their goal, it obviously brings people together. Likewise, when there's a failure, then you comfort one another about the failure. It's okay, don't worry about it. These are very emotional moments. What they do is they actually reveal your personality a lot. So when you're working very close together, your personality is revealed. When your personality is revealed, then there are some things which will put off other people, and there are obviously other things which will attract other people. So now, depending on what a person is already used to at home or in his or her previous or current life elsewhere, then obviously they're going to start making certain comparisons, and they're going to start thinking, oh, okay, this is better than what I have. This is worse than what I have. But if it's better than what you have, and that's a lot of quality time because people are at their freshest generally in the morning, and as they go through the day, by the time they come back from home, then they're totally, they're tired. So essentially what's happening in many families is that they're spending some of the most productive and quality time which they're dressed for, which they're prepared for, with others, with strangers. And when they come home, they're very tired to do anything else, right? So then that doesn't really help the marital relationship. And a lot of people actually start to form relationships at work, even if that just starts off initially as kind of a nice butterfly feeling in your stomach relationship, a flirty relationship. There's a lot of people, because we get this information from, you know, either themselves who say that this is what I do, or from the spouses who tell us that this is actually what's going on. Whereas the spouse that's actually involved, right, they just think that it's a bit of harmless fun. It just gives them a bit of excitement. We're not going to go all the way. This is nothing serious. This is what they say to try to justify it. But this is exactly where shaitan is. This is what shaitan will then manipulate and take advantage of. And it will then, and it can then become something quite quickly. And then after that, the deception begins, the cheating begins, dual personality or split personality comes up. There's emotional problems that take place afterwards, and so on. It just causes a massive problem. So that's why what Islam says is that if you ever are in a situation where you have to speak, especially for women to speak to the opposite sex, the opposite gender, then try not to have any kind of softened, alluring speech that you use, but try to speak in a kind of a very, you don't have to speak in a unusually harsh tone. That's not what it means, that you have to then speak like some kind of wild person. But at the same time, it says that you shouldn't speak in a learning. It should be very upfront and firm and very formal. I think that's what it is. They generally say that you have to be very professional in these kind of relationships, in these kind of settings, professional. You don't be personal. I think this is very important. The other thing is that as far as possible, you have to avoid being alone with a member of the opposite gender in the same place, because that's just a haram, that's just not allowed, because the third person is shaitan. And I know that that's not always easy to do. So what some of the ideas that you can use is that you can say, I'm a bit claustrophobic, can we leave the door open, please? Right? So that way, what happens is that you've got the door open, so at least it's a bit more public than it is intimate. So all of these kind of things work. And as soon as you see that there's somebody who's kind of going beyond, you must not take the cues. Because what happens is that sometimes somebody may say something in jest or casually. The other person may say something casually, and you say something very casually back. And then what happens then in your mind is that you think that the other person is interested. So then if you say something back, then they think you're interested. And then after that, they just ratchet it up a notch higher. And then after that, eventually, you've gone, you get to a place where it's a no return, because you've allowed yourself to build it up to that. You've broken the taboo. These are human beings. I mean, once you've broken a taboo with somebody, it's very difficult to regain it. Then you have to use much more intense measures. And that sometimes you're too shy or embarrassed to do. So you just don't want to get into that, because sometimes it could just be a whirlpool where you just get deeper and deeper very, very quickly. That's why you just have to keep it very formal from the beginning. Once you know, if you see that you may be making a mistake, it may be a slippery slope, then you just have to next day, next time, you just have to really make it formal. So you give a message that I'm not interested. Right? I'm not interested. Already as a Muslim, if you're attired in a particular way, right, they generally people lay off. But then if you're going to try to overcompensate for the way you're dressed by your behavior, by being extra friendly, by being extra, informal, right, or expressing your emotions a lot, or being loud and brash and whatever the case is, then obviously, again, you're sending the a wrong message. So it's quite a complicated kind of tightrope exercise, because it's not the right situation to be in the first place. We're just trying to find the best solution for somebody who's already in that situation. So that's why it's difficult, right? So hopefully of course, then everything else, I mean, I think the biggest issue is obviously the gender relationship, all right? And of course, then after that, everything else that comes in, which applies to both genders, which is, making sure that you still can do your salat and your worship. Obviously, for women, that's much easier, because they don't have to do Jumu'ah, for example, which is one of the big challenges for guys to get time off work for that. Then, of course, there's other challenges where you may have to pray, and you finish your impurity period during that time. You have to have a contingency plan for that, to make sure that you know where the closest bathroom is, right? If there's not one at work, then what are you going to do? Because in winter, there's lots of prayers, and you go to work and then you're finishing. Then you've got Dhuhr, Asr and Maghrib to do. So there's a number of these factors that you have to plan for and prepare for. And if there's somebody who maybe can put some of these things down, and maybe, you know, we can even, and then let me know, and then, you know, through zamzamacademy.com, and maybe we can actually turn this into like a little leaflet or a little booklet or something like that to help women who are in the workforce. Because I know that this is something that's increasingly happening, right? But again, I'm not here to discuss the hilla and the hurma of that in the first place. I'm just trying to see what the best that we can do in that situation.